Hi, everybody. My name is Shawna Smith. I am a social entrepreneur. I have been on a personal journey that I've met many, many obstacles, a lot of discouragement, a lot of barriers throughout the past 10 years. And I've decided to start this podcast to really connect with other moms, other parents out there who are experiencing the same things that I have been experiencing as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a woman. And I'm looking forward to this journey. I'm looking forward to this place that God is taking me, and I hope that you are too. Hi, everybody. This is Shawna. This is episode 2, and the title of this episode is called Responsibilities of a Parent. And I wanted to talk about some of the struggles that we have as parents with being faced with the responsibilities of everyday parenting. I know for me, I have 2 children, and I am married. I've been married for 8 years. And I have been sort of very recently very annoyed and agitated with the amount of things that are thrown at me as a parent. My son is 7, my daughter is 5. And I work part-time, so the way my schedule is designed, it's, okay, you go to work, I'm sorry, you wake up, okay, I brush my teeth, I take a bath, I wash my face, I try to do my hair. If I get a glimpse in the mirror, I'm lucky. I get the children up. I have to make them breakfast. They brush their teeth. They take a bath, or they get dressed, and then I have to make their lunch, and then, you know, check their backpacks and make sure everything's in their backpacks, and then yell and scream to make sure that they are not playing, you know, with their toys. Instead of getting ready for school. And then I have to make sure that their socks are matching, and I have to pick out their outfits. And it's always a struggle. You know, someone's either left their hat, they've either misplaced their socks, or they can't find their lunch bag. And it's a constant fight, struggle every morning to ensure that these things are done timely so that they get to school on time. So for me, very recently, I've noticed a heightened sense of agitation. And I asked myself, I'm like, why is it in December, because right, the kids have been in school since September, why is it that in December, there's frustration, there's agitation, there's annoyance with getting the children to school? And the only thing I can attribute it to is just being overwhelmed with so many things this fall, right? Because last year was a little different. My daughter had to be to school. She was at school part-time. She had to be to school a little later. My son was always late. So I kind of had a little more time to, you know, get them ready and get them to school. So I say all of this because I think it's important as parents to really make your life as seamless as you can with the planning of the activities for your children. Okay, so what I've decided is to be more intentional and to be more aware of the things that have to be done. So if we already know the steps ahead, we know the kids have to brush their teeth, the hair has to be brushed, the clothes have to be out. If you prepare in advance, right, the night before, have the lunchbox made. Hey, that's checked off. Do your daughter's hair the night before. That's done. Checked. Okay, have the clothes laid out the night before. The socks together. The shoes together. These are all things that are checked off. That way in the morning, the only thing that you have to do is get them up, brush their teeth. They've taken a bath already the night before. The hair is already done. Eat their breakfast. Put on the clothes that are already laid out. Take their lunchbox and get outside. You understand, the coat is out, the hat is out, everything's already laid out, so it's a lot more seamless, and you're not running around like a chicken with your head cut off, right? So my advice, my suggestion, my recommendation to parents who have school-age children who feel frazzled, you know, who feel like, you know, there's no end to the anxiety that you feel in the mornings when you're, you know, taking your children, your multiples to school, if you in advance prepare these things, it would certainly lessen the frustration that you have for those mornings. So with that, I would also suggest building a community of people, if you have who live near you, who could possibly help you out in the mornings—a brother, sister, aunt, cousin, mom, grandfather, whomever—who could possibly take the kids to school one day out of the week to alleviate you feeling, you know, so stressed and frazzled in the morning. That is my advice for you all. Those are the you know, what I have written down here that I can suggest. And if you guys have any opinions, any suggestions, any recommendations, anything that you would do differently, please, please comment. Please let me know so that we can have that conversation and that communication about what you would do differently. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I look forward to hearing from you on episode 2. Bye. Hi, everybody. This is Shawana, and this is episode 3, and for this episode, I want to talk about background and kind of where I come from, the struggles that I faced as a child, and how those struggles have affected my current life. So in essence, it will, it should allow you to see, the connections between your present life to what you experienced as a child. And it could be either negative or positive, or it could be both, you know, but I just wanted to have that particular conversation. I think it's really, really important. Okay, so get prepared, get a glass of tea, wine, coffee, you know, whatever have you, or a box of tissues, and listen, you know, very carefully, please, to what I will say next. So I grew up in Harlem. I grew up in Harlem, and from about, I was born in 85. So I was born into the crack epidemic. Around 5 years old, that was like 1990, 1991, in Harlem. And, I recall my mom abusing drugs. At the time, being so young, my only understanding of it was that this was life. This is what people do. People smoke, you know, blow their brains out. I could almost smell the aroma of crack as I'm talking. It's very, very, very distinct smell. And I'm not talking about sniffing cocaine. I'm talking about crack rocks being heated on a glass pipe and smoked. That's back in the day crack. That's not your current 2019, 2020 type of drug. So at 5 and 6, I was exposed to these things. And so as time went on, pre-K, kindergarten, throughout elementary, my father, you know, so my mother was the one that was, you know, strung out, addicted to crack cocaine. And my father simultaneously was addicted to alcohol, was an alcoholic. And I recall these moments, you know, vividly, where my father would, you know, become, you know, irate. He would get drunk. He would have cheap wine. It's called Thunderbird. And he would become belligerent, yell, scream, you know, cause fights with my mom. And my mom was the aggressor. She would beat him down. She would fight him, you know. And he was an alcoholic. So it was you couldn't do much anyway, even if you wanted to defend yourself. And that took place for about 8 years. The constant back and forth, the fighting, the hollering. My mom was in and out of jail the first, you know, 6 years of my life. She would go out to the store and just not come back. You know, and I had two older sisters, so they would know the routine. You know, okay, mom's not here. We're going to get a phone call. She would call from jail. I'm in jail. They would let her out the next day. And then it's on, you know, the cycle continues. When I was 13, my father passed away. My father lived with us in our home, so I grew up in a two-parent home that was dysfunctional. That's how I describe it, okay? At 13, he died, and I was relieved. I did not shed a tear. Not one tear came from my eye, because I felt like, in essence, his death was... not that it was a good thing, but it was an end to a lot of the dysfunctionality, right? Because the, you know, the drinking and the throwing stuff and the yelling, all of that ceased, because now my mom has no one to argue with. So it's just her and her, you know, crack smoking and, you know, men in and out of our homes and, you know, harboring, you know, women that she meets in the streets and letting them stay in her house, and they're stealing money from her, and, you know, that type of like dramatic scene. So that went on. I was 13, and for another 4 years, I was with my mom. And there, you know, crack continued. I think she went from crack cocaine and heroin to sniffing cocaine. She was also addicted or hooked to methadone, which caused her to be in like sedated moods almost. Like, and that really affected me because I hated her being around when my friends were there. You know, parent-teacher night. I remember when I went on a college tour and my mom had to come. She had to come to sign up on the paperwork to pay the $200 fee. And I was like, I was devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to embarrass me. And she came the whole time. She nodded off in her chair. And I was mortified. I was literally mortified. I was 16 at the time. And I hated that moment. I grew up, you know, with a mom who never inquired about my academics. Never saw a report card. Never asked to see a report card. Never asked how I was doing in school. Never asked, you know, what my teachers, you know, were saying in school. You know, if anyone was bullying me. You know, how I felt. I never did anything as a child. No dance, no music, no, oh, you want to go to art school? Oh, do you like, never, never. So I'll tell you, you know, what my life is now, what my life is like now in a minute. But in retrospect, I look at those things and I see the trauma. I see the trauma. I see the, you know, where the nonchalance comes from, where the attitude comes from, the aggression comes from. I see where the feeling like I have to overcompensate as a parent because my mom lacked in those areas, right? I'm very involved in my children's lives. Fast forward, very involved in their academics, in their social lives, in their emotional lives. I'm very careful what I say to them. I'm very involved in what they like, what they don't like. I allow them to be free. I'm not into physically disciplining my children at all. And I think that those past experiences are what have shaped my current decision on how to parent. Right. Because as a parent, I feel like my mom was literally just there physically. There was no emotional attachment, connection at all. And fast forward, you know, 20 years later, I'm overly attached to my children. So it really foreshadows what, like, my current life really foreshadows what my experiences were like as a child, and what it shows me what I don't want my life to look like, what my children's life to look like. You know, if there's ever a moment where the children are too quiet, I'm like, nope, we got to get up. What can we do? Right? Because children need to be happy. Children need to be smiling. You need to be excited. You need to be engaged in activities. You can't just come home and watch TV. No, that's unacceptable in my house, you know, because I know what it did to me, you know, as an adult. Fast forward, I don't know what I like. I don't know how to dance. I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to draw. You know, I don't know karate moves. I don't know, you know, how my life would have been different had my mom, you know, just took the time out to talk to me about the things that I liked, or had taken just a little time out to expose me to the arts. You know, I would be a different, completely different person. I don't have a technical skill. I don't. And I acknowledge that as an adult. Why is that? Because as a kid, there was no exposure to any of, to STEM. No science, technology, engineering, mathematics, no arts, nothing. So I lack that, you know, and I also lack social skills, right? Because as a kid, I was sheltered. not because my mom was overprotective of me, but because she didn't take me outside. So I was always in the house, you know? So I say these things to really give you insight as a parent, that in peace and knowing that everything that you do as a parent, everything that you do as a parent, the way you wipe your nose, the way you close the door, you know, the way you talk to your children, the way you speak to them, the way you uplift them, the way you talk to them, the way you inquire how involved you are in their academics, how involved you are with meeting their teachers and connecting and communicating with their teachers and, you know, building them up socially and ensuring that they have a group of friends that are positive and that will empower and inspire them. All of that will affect them as an adult, right? How my daughter's father, how my husband speaks to my daughter will show her in the future how a man should speak to her. So if you're too overly aggressive, if you don't listen to her, if you lie to her, if you don't hold your promises, these are all expectations that she'll have as an adult, right? These are all behaviors that she would learn as a child that will trickle down into her adulthood. I don't want to raise a daughter that's messed up emotionally. I don't want to raise a son who's overly attached to his mom and don't want to get married. I don't want to be that parent that looks at my child at 18 and wonders what they like. You should already have that set up. At 5 and 6 years old, you see these qualities, these characteristics in your children. And it's your responsibility as a parent to guide them along. You know how when you walk across a bridge, you know, in a playground, when they have those bridges and they have the ropes, and the children walk across and they put their hands on it and they walk across. It's your responsibility. You are the ropes. It's your responsibility to uplift your children and to ensure that they get across that bridge safely. That they go into a marriage seamlessly. That they transition to marriage and with the right tools in place. We don't want damaged goods entering the marriage. We don't want someone who doesn't understand their identity in Christ to enter a marriage. We don't want our children to enter into marriage not knowing what they want out of life. It's your responsibility. It starts in their childhood. So I implore you, you know, all of the listeners today to really dig deep down to your own childhood and compare those things that you experienced as a child to what you are as an adult, who you are as an adult, and really pick at those things you disliked as a child and really compare that to your own children's lives and ask yourself, what am I doing that will benefit my child? I always ask myself that question when I talk to my children in a harsh tone, or when I, you know, discipline them for not doing something properly or at the time that I tell them to. The question that comes into my mind is, what am I doing to build you? What am I doing that could potentially cause you to have anxiety as an adult? What am I doing that could potentially cause you to get a divorce 2 years into your marriage? What am I doing that can inspire you to become a billionaire at 21? These are the questions that come into my mind and that remind me of the huge responsibility that I have as a parent, that my husband has as a parent, to ensure that these children grow up into viable adults in society. So the question that I have for all of my listeners today is, how can you build your child? Okay, so if your child is 11, in the next 8 years, the next 7 years, what can I do to build this child? Right? Oh, my child is depressed. They need therapy. right? We don't want you to have therapy at 21. We want you to receive individual counseling at 11 years old, if that's what you need. We want intervention at 11, right? So what can I do for the next 10 years? Oh, my child is 2. Okay, for the next 16 years, what can I do to ensure that I bring this child up positively, right? Emotionally, we want to ensure that those needs are met. Spiritually, right? Physically, are we eating the right foods? Or are we giving them slices of cake every day? Right? Mentally, am I allowing my child's mind to be stimulated? Or am I allowing you to watch TV for 2 hours every day? Right? Educationally, what am I doing? Am I ingraining in my children's minds the importance of reading? Or am I allowing them to sit in front of a tablet all day and play games? So these are things that I just want to plant in your minds, to just think more carefully about the things you do around your children. And something just came to my mind, parents, when if you're divorced, or if you are, you know, if you're remarrying, or if you're single and you have a child and you have another boyfriend in the picture, take time to allow that man to meet your children. Don't be so quick to bring another man in the picture, right? Take time to heal from your current situation, right? Identify yourself, get to know your child, you know, build a relationship with your ex, you know, that's strictly, you know, about the child, if that's the decision that you have made, you know, and then date. Get to know that person before you allow your child to meet them. So I'm talking their full background, right? Background checks, internet, it's free information. FOIL, right? Look it up, it's free. Background checks, family checks, friend checks, spiritual checks. These are things that you need to ensure before you allow your child to meet someone. Is this person the one? If they're not, if you have any doubt that this person is the one, they don't need to meet your child, right? Because you can play the game. You can date. You can play the game by yourself, outside of the home. Oh, Bobby's in school. Okay, Bobby's in school. So you can date and play around and, you know, court without that person meeting your child. But the minute that they meet, now you have a responsibility to uphold that relationship. Now you feel obligated, right? So even if things go wrong, you're still going to have that obligation to keep this person in the picture, because you don't want to keep allowing your child to go through that situation where multiple people are being introduced to them. Okay, that wasn't even a part of my discussion today, but I really felt led to share that. And I don't know if that's for someone, but I really felt led in the moment. I won't even edit that portion. I felt led to share that with you. Okay. So I love you all. I thank you for listening. This podcast is about healing. It's about finding your identity, loving yourself, and really learning to empower others and inspire others. So I thank you for listening, and you all have a wonderful night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.